Okay, we're holding on Ches Amud Beis, just about the middle of the Amud. The line begins Shavuos. The next Mishnah is going to tell us that in certain ways, the dinim of a get shichur, the shtar that you use to free an eved knani, in some ways that has similar dinim to a get isher, which is the main topic of our Masechta. One of them is, the Mishnah is going to mention, that you need to be able to say b'fanu nechtem, b'fanu nechtem, if it's brought from Medinat Hayam. So, Tana Rabbana, we learn in a braisa, Eved Shehebi Gita, if an Eved brings his own get shichur, it does. So Rashi says that we learn by Gzeira Shava from the word, by get isha, the expression is in the Torah, b'chos of loth, sefer Christus. By Shivcha Knanis, the expression is Oichuf Shalai Nitzan Loth, that freedom has not been given to her, talking about the case of a Shivcha Harufa. So therefore you make Gzeira Shava Loth, that you need to be written Lishma in both cases. Shivcha Harufa actually is a special case, there's a couple of different opinions about it. The halacha is it's a woman who's half Shivcha Knanis and half free. Like, for example, we'll talk about later in the Masechta how that's possible. For example, she had two owners and one of them freed her. We'll have later on in the Masechta, we'll have an opinion that it's possible for an owner to free half the Eved, whatever it is, and then she's Mekudeshes to an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri is the only person who's allowed to marry such a woman because he's allowed to marry a free Jewish woman because he's a Jew, and he's allowed to marry a Shivcha Knanis because that's a special dispensation that the Torah gave. He's in Parshas Mishpatim over there. I don't know if he's in Laisha. So she's Mekudeshes to him, and now somebody else is Mezani with her. That's the case of Shivcha Harufa. Anyway, the point is, the Torah says, Oichuf Shalai Nitzan Lo, that freedom had not been given to her. Because if she was a free woman, and she was Mekudesh to somebody, and then somebody else was Mezani with her, it'd be Chayiv Misa. There's no Malkus and Korban, like in this case. So, but we see from the Gzeira Shava, lo, we see that a get Shichru for an Eved of Shivcha Knanis has to be written Lishma. So therefore, we learn in a braisa, Eved Shehevi Gita, if an Eved brings his own get shichru, the kosuboy atmacho nechosek knurin loch, and it says in it that you yourself, as well as my nechosim, are given over to you, I'm makna them to you. So then, atmekona, so he's kona himself, nechosim loikona, but he's not kona the nechosim without, unless there are edim to be makayim it. Namely, when it comes to himself being free, so fine. Once he says b'fanu nechtem, b'fanu nechtem, the same way as we've been saying up until now that one shliach is believed to say that about a get isha, that therefore means it was written lishma, and he's certifying the signatures of the edim and so forth. The same kind of thing we say as far as a get shichru of an eved. So we'll believe him about himself. But as far as the nechosim, you're going to need to bring two edim in order to certify the signatures.
Gave him
one star that says Atmacho Nechosek Knurin Loch. Says that you yourself are connery to yourself, meaning you're free, as well as my Nechosim are connery to you. We're assuming all of his Nechosim, yeah. So far we just said that it just says Nechosai. It didn't spell out the words Kol Nechosai. That's going to be the next discussion of the Gemara. So Atmacho Nechosim Loikonah. So he's connery himself, he's not connery the Nechosim. Now Iboy Lahu, so now the Amoroyim had a question. Kol Nechosek Knurin Loch Mahu. What if he doesn't just say Nechosim, what if he just says, instead of writing Nechosek Knurin Loch, which might imply some of my Nechosim, it might imply all of it, what if he actually says Kol Nechosek Knurin Loch Mahu? Rashi says the vote is like this. If we say Atmacho Nechosai, then it means two different things. It means that then we're able to say Pauginin Dibura. Usually in Shach, Pagin and Dibura usually means that an aid comes and says something, and we accept half of what he says, and we throw out half the aidus. Classic example, we had, I think, of in Ksubas. Somebody comes to Beis Din and says, plainly Ruva Ani Lutzoni, so-and-so had relations with me, Mishkav Zohar, which makes him Chayiv Misa, with my consent. So we say, Pagin and Dibura, we split it, and we say the fact that the guy was Rezea, that we accept. That he says Lutzoni, that we don't accept because they know to make some Atmerosha. Usually that's what we mean when we say Palgin and Dibura throughout Shas. Here we're going to be using Palgin and Dibura in a different sense. We're going to be discussing the question, can you have a Shtar where we're taking what it says in the Shtar and splitting it and only accepting half of it? So in this case, if he says Atmachon Nechosai, then it's two different statements, yourself and the Nechosim. So then the Braita is telling us that we're able to separate them. We're able to say that for Atzmai, all we need is him to say Bufan and Echtem, Bufan and Echtem. And for Nechasa, he needs a Kiyum, he needs regular Kiyum Shoras that's done by two Eidim who recognize the signatures. Now, what if the question is, now, what if the owner said Kol Nechasa? He just said, as one statement, all my Nechasim, which includes the Eved then. So Mahu, so what's the din? Do we say then that without saying the word Atzmacha, but he says Kol Nechasav. Now later on, the Gemara is going to mention, in fact, that if somebody writes away that all of the Nechasim belong to his Eved, then that Eved automatically goes free because he's included in the Nechasim. So if he says Kol Nechasai, so does that mean then that him saying Bufana Nechtem on this Shtar is enough to get everything, or maybe not? So Abai said, yes, since he's Kona himself, since we're saying that him saying Bufana Nechtem is enough for him to be Kona himself, for him to go free, therefore Kona Nechasim, then it goes together, because it's not split into two separate states, into two separate words like it was in the Braita's case. Atzmacha Nechasai. Here it's one statement, Kol Nechasai. Automatically, therefore, if he's going to be free, and then there's no reason, Abai says, to think that not, Then automatically it should mean he gets the Nechasim as well.
If the
master wrote out Kol Nechasai Knuyim Lach, then as of when he wrote the Shtar, I mean it can't really be in effect until he actually brings it to Beis Din. Fine, okay, so maybe he writes Me'achshav or whatever, but if somebody else goes and takes it in between, I can understand that he's coming to himself, that he himself becomes free. Me did have a getisha. Again, because just like a woman is believed when she brings her own get, and it says b'fana nechtem, the case that we had before a few days ago where the woman is her own shliach halacha, namely where the husband tells her the get will not take effect until you bring it in front of such and such a beis din. And we say that once she said b'fana nechtem, that's the equivalent of saying it was l'shma, and there's Eidim mitzuyin l'taimai, etc., and everything's good. So therefore, fine, the same thing over here. Elam nechasim lo lifni, but why should it be kind of a nechasim? Midi to have a kiyum shtoris d'alma. Shouldn't it be just the same as kiyum shtoris that you normally need two Eidim for it? We're not going to make any exception for that over here. Okay, the Meiri points out an interesting thing. I mean, you could say the same thing when a woman brings her own get. There's nechasim automatically involved as well because she's able to collect her ksuba. The difference is that when it comes to the ksuba originally, when they got married, there was the ksuba and all the tshinoi ksuba. Automatically, of necessity, when there's a get, there's automatically going to be a collection of a ksuba with it. Not necessarily when there's a freeing of a slave, is there automatically going to be handover of nechasim.
Without aiding it.
No, so therefore the point is when she brings her get, even though there's no aiding, well, there's the one signed in the get, and it was the ones that were originally given in front of. But we're talking about when she herself, or any shliach, brings this get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, and then it takes effect, and it's given in front of Eidim, etc. Then we say at that point automatically we allow her to collect her ksuba. So fine, but the difference is the ksuba automatically. Ksuba is an automatic thing when there's a get. When there's a valid get being given, immediately the ksuba is payable. Whereas over here, not necessarily, because the difference is, that's the thing. A get always presupposes that there'll be a ksuba paid. It's one of the tshinoi ksuba. In fact, we learned way back in ksubas a few months ago that there's a loshen in the ksuba is when you're eligible to remarry, then you're entitled to collect the ksuba. As opposed to an eved, not necessarily. In this particular case, it so happens the guy said that I'm being machne everything to you. But it doesn't have to be that way. A person can free his slave without being machne him any nechasim. So therefore, not necessarily. Rava says, is there a reason that we should treat it as one unit? And therefore, you need two shoris. You need two regular eidim to come and say that they recognize the signatures.
She brings her own get.
No, Bufana Nechtem means it was written in my presence. The first line of it, at least, was written, as we learned a few days ago. And Bufana Nechtem, it was signed in my presence. Bufana Nechtem, Bufana Nechtem means that she was actually there when she saw them writing it, and she saw them signing it. Or we talked about the other day, maybe you don't have to see it, maybe it's enough if you hear it. whatever, but at least you have to be in the vicinity.
She doesn't say that.
If she doesn't say that, then it's not a valid get, because if it's brought from close quarters, because we're afraid either that the so therefore we talk about all the cases over here. Are we worried about that it may not have been written l'shma? Are we worried that the husband may come and object that the agent's signature is a false or whatever? If the husband himself doesn't come, are we ourselves going to bring that point up? That's what we've been discussing these last few blocks, with all the ins and outs of all this b'fanim nefesh business. L'shma doesn't mean it's written in it for a date. L'shma means that it's written having in mind that Yossel is divorcing Rachel. Let's say it's not only the names Yossel and Rachel are written in it. You do. But saying that it's written L'shma means that the sofer had in mind, and when he wrote it, and the Edom had in mind when they signed it, that Yossel is using this to divorce Rachel. Not, for example, that we're just writing it for practice, and it so happens we use the name Yossel and Rachel.
Only in mind Rachel.
Yeah.
Even if it's
taking
effect in a week from now.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to have cases. We're going to have cases later on in the third paragraph or so. You can have a case of a man who's married to two wives, for example, and both of them have the same name. He writes a get intending to divorce one. He can't use it to divorce the other one, even though they both have the same name, and even though he's the same husband.
Make him something to create the pointy
bath. Yeah.
But what you just said now is interesting. Let's say the lady was going to be the shlucha or whatever, shliach, mm-hmm. is in a waiting room, and they come out of the door, and the second I just wrote it. And two women says, "I just signed that," and they say it to her in presence of the husband.
Mm-hmm.
But she was in the same area.
So that's what we talked about the other day. That maybe if you hear kan kumus of a kan megilta, if you hear the sound of the foot for preparing the quill or preparing the parchment and saying at the time, "I'm doing," and they're in the attic or whatever, and then you hear them saying, "I'm going to be doing this l'shma. I'm going to be doing this for the get that I'm writing for Yossel to divorce Rachel." Then that's good enough. Then Abaya changed his mind. Now, Tosfos says he didn't change his mind because of Rava's question. He's not worried about Rava's question. You're telling me Palginin Dibura? You can't say Palginin Dibura. You can't say he split the statement in half when it's only one statement. No, rather, Rava himself realizes the different svara. No, I still say that the two things go together, but well, it's really the other way around. He's not koner the nechassim, because to be koner the nechassim, you're going to need regular piyum shtoret, and you don't have this. He's in the gave a job, or he can't see. Therefore, he's not koner himself either. So the polar opposite of what he said before, but still not like Rava, who says that maybe we could split it and say that the as a get shikr, it's chal, but as nechassim, it's not. So now, Omalei Rava. So Rava says, "Bishlem nechassim leilikni mida have yakiyim shtaris d'alma." Fine, I understand he doesn't get the nechassim because again, you need kiyim shtaris like you usually do. Ela asma leilikni, why is not kohen himself mida to have a getisha? Because it should be similar to a getisha. Again, I still hold that you should be able to separate these two parts. Why are you saying that it always goes together? Either your first svara that he gets both, or the second svara that he gets neither. Hello, Amar Rava. So Rava says no. In either case, echad zeva echad zeh, regardless of whether he says like in the Braisa asmacho nechassim, or regardless of the case that Amaroyim we're talking about, where he just says kol nechass, right? Either way, asme kona nechassim like kona, he's kona himself. He himself becomes free, but the nechassim he's not kona unless there's kiyum shtaris. So who is this like that you're saying this idea of Pagin and Dibura that was splitting the statement in half? You're telling me it must be Kirab Shimon. As in fact we find a Mishnah where Rab Shimon says to the thing that Pagin and Dibura. However, there's something more, I was going to first quote the Mishnah where Rab Shimon says this. However, we're going to object the halacha is not like him. What's the Mishnah? The Tanan. Hakosef kol mechassim la'avdo. If somebody writes out a document saying that all of his mechassim go to his Eved, without mentioning the Eved himself, Yotze ben Choron, automatically the slave goes free because he's part of the Nechassim. That's it. Well, we haven't gotten to Reb Shimon yet. Wait. This is part of the coin to everybody. By the way, you know, this connects with the famous story that that they have of a father who in Eretz Yisrael, and his son is learning whatever, they're in two different countries. The father is passing away, all he has over there is a slave, and he's concerned the slave is just going to take everything and run off, so he writes out a will that everything belongs to the, that everything goes to the slave except for one object that the son can pick for himself. And then eventually he picks the slave, and therefore Mashakonet obviously gets everything. What about, continues the Mishnah, Shir Kaka Kol Shehu, what if the owner said in the document, I'm giving everything except for some karka. In that case, then the slave does not go out free. Now Rashi said it doesn't specifically have to be karka. If the master writes in this document that I'm giving you the eved everything except for anything, with any exception, regardless whether that exception is karka or metalkalin, lo yotze ben chorin, then he does not go out free. The difference is, Rashi says, that in the first part of the mission, if he says kol nechasav, so we assume it means everything, including the slave. Once he met in the second part when he says kol nechasai, except for one thing, so we can already say at that point he obviously means he doesn't mean you yourself also. He's just trying to chan for him. He's just trying to if he meant that you yourself are going to go free, he wouldn't have wanted to write kol nechasai, fine, but he would have written like the Brayt said, well, atma kol nechasai. The fact that he says kol nechasai except for one piece of kalka or one piece of a kalkulin or whatever means that it doesn't take effect. Means the guy does not go because it may not include him. Just like he left out one field or one piece of nechasim or whatever, he may have left out the eved as well. Reb Shimon Omer, la'olam hu ben chorin. No,
if he said
atzmacha v'chol nechasai, there's no question. If he says atzmacha u'nechasai, so that's the Brayta that I said before. Fine, the guy can be koyin nechasim. He's just going to need the shtar validated. Reb Shimon says, no, the slave, it will always be a ben chorin, because we say, for example, if the master had said, let's say, I'm giving you everything except for one particular field, fine, so I'm accepting that one particular field, I'm not accepting you. Ad sheyomer, unless he writes in the document, kol nechasai nesunin l'poini abdi, chutz me'echad meribay shebehen, unless he says that all my nechasim are given to so-and-so, who is my eved, except for 1/10,000 of them. Without specifying, now, so the previous case in the Mishnah had been, he says that I'm giving you everything except for one piece of property, you know, except for my house on Montgomery Street. Here he's saying, I'm giving you everything except for 1/10,000th part of it. So if he says everything except for such and such a house, then fine, it means he's accepting Rav Shimon saying, fine, you can say that he's excluding the house, but he's not excluding the eved. But if he says that I'm giving everything except for 1/10,000th, so what would it mean? It can mean, you, the eved, I consider you no more important than 1/10, I consider you to be only worth 1/10,000th of my estate. I, on the slave market, could be worth more, but to me, you're next to worthless, basically. So what does that mean? Since Reb Shimon is saying, well, olam hu ben chorin, now she says, then it means it doesn't matter whether we're talking about that he's getting other nechasim with it, or whether he's not getting other nechasim with it. Because you can have, Rashi gives another example. So far we have two possibilities. There's where he mentions a specific property that he's excluding. There's where he says everything except for 1/10,000th. Then there's a third possibility. What if he says, I'm giving you all of my nechasim except for one base core of land? Then you have the problem, which base core? Any base core that the slave might want to claim, you could argue that's the base core that the master meant to leave out, to not give to him. Therefore, he winds up getting none of the nechasim. And nevertheless, Reb Shimon would still say that in that case, he's ben chorin. So you see that Reb Shimon holds Pagin and Dibur. Reb Shimon is saying then that you have a situation over here where he says, kol mechasai except for one base kur. He winds up not getting any of the property, but he still is lo'olam ben chorin. He still himself becomes free. Yeah. And the problem is, v'amar Reb Yosef amin yumi amar Reb Nachman, afal pishakilas Reb Yosef as Reb Shimon, even though we find that Reb Yosef praised what Reb Shimon said, he said that what he said is a very nice statement, and the halacha should be like it. Nevertheless, the halacha is like Reb Meir, who is the Tanakhama of that Mishnah, Sam Mishnah Reb Meir, that he doesn't go free. Shia talko kol shuhu layotzeh ben chorin, the Mishnah had said. Where do we see that Rabbi Yossi praised Reb Shimon, the Tanya, with Rav Breiter, Kenem Rebvarim Lefnei Rabbi Yossi, when this statement was said before Rabbi Yossi, Kara'olam HaMikra Azeh, Rabbi Yossi applied the following pasuk to what Reb Shimon had said. The pasuk says, Svasayim Yishak Meshiv Dvarim Nechoichim. So Rashi explains Yishak Meloshim kissing. Meshiv Dvarim Nechoichim, somebody who speaks clear, proper statement like that, deserves to be kissed with the lips. As a sign of covet. Tosfos has a different explanation. Yishak can also mean like pressing, like a person presses their lips together, doesn't say anything. Like these are such dvarim nechoichem. These are such clear, this is such a clear, such a clear and unimpeachable statement that anybody who hears it is going to have to close their mouth. They can't find any way to shlug it up. Nevertheless, even though Rabbi Yossi said that, nevertheless, the halacha is like a mayor. So how can Rava be saying that pavina dibura? That's what Rav Adi Bahava is asking him. If the halacha is not like Rav Shimon, how can you be saying pavina dibura like Rav Shimon? Tosfos has a bit of a discussion about all this, in particular, Tosfos has a number of problems with this lashon, including one of them being, if he says, if I'm giving you everything except for one base core, why is Rashi saying that in that case he can't get anything, because whatever base core he tries to claim, you can say that's not the one? You should say in that case, you have Tosfos says, you have a case in Bava Basra, where in that case, then you say, fine, what you do is you take the least valuable base core, the worst quality property, you give it, you take the best quality base core, you exclude that, you say you can't get that, but you can get all the others. Why don't we say the same thing over here? So again, Rav Shimon is saying that he'll go free. That's the point. Rav Meir will say that not, because once you mishayer anything, then Rav Meir says once you mishayer one thing, then you mishayer the Eved also. Rav Shimon doesn't believe in that. Rav Shimon is saying pagun and dibura. But fine, Tosfos is asking, according to Rav Shimon, why should we say, just because you said except for one base core, why does the Eved not get any base core? Let him get everything except for the best base core. So Tosfos says that actually what Rav Shimon is talking about is a different situation. What if the Eved, not the Eved, what if the master only has, for example, one particular base core? So he only has one base core of land. If he says, I'm giving you all of my nechasim except for that base core, there's nothing there. There's nothing to be included.
All
the nechasim, except for one. All the nechasim is that one base core. On that base core, maybe it's his house, whatever. But the point is that the point is, even then, Rav Shimon would say, even though the Eved is not getting any nechasim because there's no the only nechasim the guy has was specifically accepted, nevertheless, he himself goes free. So we see from that pogin and dibura. The halacha is like Rav Meir, not like Rav Shimon. That's what Rav Adi Bahava is asking. Okay, so Akasha so far. But the question is, Umi Omer of Nachman Hachi, this that we said, that we just said that Rav Yosef of Manyumi said in the name of Nachman, that the halacha is like Rav Meir, so let's ask back on that. Did Rav Nachman actually say that? Don't we find another case where Rav Nachman does say, Pogin et Dibura?
Who said the halacha was like
that? Well, that's Rabbi Yosef Ben Yumi is saying the name of Rav Nachman. That you should know the halacha is like Rav Meir. If the master is shyer anything in the document, then the Eved does not go free. Rabbi Yosef said, you know what, I really like Rav Shimon's Svara. Nevertheless, the halacha is like Rav Meir. So is it true that Rav Nachman said that? Don't we find another case where Rav Nachman said, where Rav Nachman implied that Hogin and Dibura? Namely, somebody who's on his deathbed, so he's not yet a goyis, he's not yet at his very last breath, but he's pretty close to it. And midrabanan, we've had this before. We have this in Ksubas a lot, for example. That's midrab. The Chachamim made a takana that a shchiv mera, whatever he says goes. Whatever he says goes, because you don't want Shitotis Daitel. You don't want him to have a nervous breakdown, knowing, you know, I'm about to die, and what I want to get accomplished is not going to get accomplished. On the other hand, though, the difference is that when he gives bequests out of his estate, obviously he's doing it because he expects to die. So what happens, therefore, if he recovers? Then all of these things don't take effect, or any of the bequests that he made while he was sick. As opposed, that's the difference between matnas bori and matnas shchivmera. Matnas bori, if I'm healthy and I say I'm giving such and such property to somebody and I write out a shtar from it, then that's it. It's irrevocable. But the shchivmera, it's irrevocable, because if he recovers, then yeah. So Shchivmana Shechotiv Kol Mechotiv La'Avid. So Shchivmana writes out all of his property is going to go to his Eved, the Amad, and then he recovers. Choziv Nechosim Ve'ina Choziv Eved. So he can retract when it comes to the Nechosim. He can get them back. But he can't retract when it comes to the Eved. That's Pagin and Dibur, exactly. Choziv Nechosim, why? Because Matnas Shchivmana, because the Matnas Shchivmana, and that's the definition of it, is that if he recovers, he can take it all back. Because there's already a name gone out about this person that he is a ben chorin, and therefore you're not going to be allowed to keep him as an eved anymore. So that's the point. Pogin and Dibura. No, because once he became a ben chorin, a yid can't become an eved knani. For him to become an eved knani would mean that he never became a yid in the first place. If already yotza olav shem ben chorin, meaning that he has the status by the tzibur of already being a yid, of already being an eved and shukher, he can't go back to being an eved.
So what do we see?
Pogin and Dibura. Tosfos, by the way, points out, we would have to say, Tosfos brings a couple of possibilities. One is that it would have to be that he wrote that this is going to take effect mei hayoyim, la'achamisa, that when I die, it'll take effect retroactively as of now. Otherwise, if it's only going to take effect right before the guy dies, well, he didn't die yet, so then the fact that he made him a ben chorin wouldn't be in effect yet. Or Tosfos says the second possibility is not necessarily, you don't even need that. Once he obviously has in mind to free him, then he means that should take effect even while I'm still alive. And therefore, even if he doesn't write Ma'akshav, even if he doesn't write Ma'ayim, then not. So according to Tosfos' first explanation, if he writes Mehayim, the point is he's still able to be chosen on the Nechosim. He's not able to be chosen on the Eved. If he didn't write Mehayim, then no, there's no need to be Pogin and Dibur. Everything goes down. According to Tosfos' second explanation, doesn't matter whether he wrote Mehayim or not. Okay. So anyway, the point is Reb Nachman evidently says Pogin and Dibur, which would mean the halachos like Reb Shimon. Elo Amar Rav Ashi, no. Chosim, Hainu Taima. You know why the reason is, why going back, when Reb Meir said before the halacha is like, when Reb Nachman said that the halacha is like Reb Meir in that Mishnah we quoted before about the various possibilities of when a person writes out as the chosim to his Eved, the reason why he said that halacha is like Reb Meir, Chosim, Hainu Taima, Mishim Delav Korus Gitahu. Because the get is not completely cutting him off. Namely, the definition of a get is, because in the case of a get isha, the expression in the pasuk is, v'chosav l'sefer krisus. He writes out a document of separation. And we'll see later in the Masechta that there has to be an absolute separation. There can't be any t'nai, for example, that still keeps a connection between the husband and the wife after that.
No, that's
because eventually it will take effect. But for example, he can't say it's tonight that will be in effect for the rest of his life. He can't say it's tonight that will be in effect for the rest of her life, for example. That wouldn't be krisus. Similarly over here, when it comes to a get shichur, same idea. Again, we have zeta shava lot loss, so you have similar rules. So since according to the mayor, we're saying in that case, Shia Kauka Kosho, he left over some Kauka, or Talklin, according to Rashi, he left over some of his estate that he was not giving away to the Eved, so therefore there's no crisis over there, there's no complete separation. Once there's no complete separation, then as a get Shishur itself, it's no good. As opposed to the last case that we were talking about, where Shchivmara wrote out all of his nechosim that he's giving them to his Eved, normally Reb Nachman would say yes, Pogin and Dibura. But in the case of the get shichru that includes all the nechosim minus one thing, then there's no krisus. So therefore, it's not a question of Pogin and Dibura. Now it's a matter of it's not a valid get shichru.
Even though the second half of the statement is good.
Yeah, because in order for it to be a get shichru, there has to be a complete separation. There has to be a complete cutoff. Once he was shear something, then a mayor figures, again, just like what we said before, once he's Mashiach one thing, he might well be Mashiach or something else. He might also be, same way as he's saying, I'm doing except for this house, it could also be except for the Eved. Therefore, there's no crisis.
How can the Eved go free?
He'd have to write him a new document that says, as you could say, for example, Afnacho and Nechosek, Knuri and Lach, like the original.
Otherwise he does not go free.
Otherwise he doesn't go free, right. No, so Shem ben Chorin is different. That's when a Shechiv Merah said that you're going to go free, and then he recovered. In this case, when he wrote out, he Kosev called Mechasev Ma'apig, but he left out one thing. There's no Shem ben Chorin on him. He's not generally known to the public, because the Shtar itself hasn't really taken effect yet.
And it won't have something.
And it won't, if there's something left. That's the point. That's Ravashi's point. The Rambam, by the way, has a different explanation of this Lav Chorus Gitahu. The Rambam says the difference is that in the case that we're talking about, where you Mashiach your character, fine, let's not say that a mayor is saying once you Mashiach your character, once you're saying everything minus this house, then it could also just as well mean minus the Eved. No, let's take a different tack on it. The master is still going to need the Shtar in order to prove that he owns that house. Therefore, that's the Lav Chorus Gitahu. There's not that complete separation, because the Eved himself needs it as a get shit, but the master needs it as to prove that he still owns that one house. Therefore, it's not a valid get shichur. As opposed to the case of Shechiv Merah Shekosev Kol Mechosev La'avdoi, where there we're saying, if the Shechiv Merah were to have died, then yes, everything would, the fact that he recovered just means that it's not a Shechiv Merah anymore, and ordinarily we would say everything could go back, the Eved remains an Eved, and then Mechosev go back to the Shechiv Merah. We just don't, because we don't, because Yotzel of Shem Ben Chorin. The Mishnah had finished off in Yeshal of Orim Yiskayim B'chosma, that if a get is brought within Eretz Yisrael itself, the last thing was, and maybe get to Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say b'fana nechtem, b'fana nechtem, and if there are urim, if there is objections to the validity of the get, yiskayim b'chosmav, then you have the edim certify it. You have the edim themselves come and certify it, or you have other edim within Eretz Yisrael. You have the edim themselves, you have other edim who recognize their signatures, or whatever, the various ways of being a kaim shtaris. So the question is, Ar-Akama, when we say that there's an error, that there's an objection to the validity of the get, how many people are we talking about are coming with that objection? Ilema Ar-Akama, are you saying that it's just one person objecting? So what's the problem? Balmer Rabbi Yechanan Divrahakol in Ar-Apophis Mishnayim. Rabbi Yechanan says that everybody would agree, that everybody agrees, in a different context, we learned about this in Ksubas, that an error requires two people. So if it's just one, Beis Din is going to ignore it anyway. The Ela Ar-Atre, you... The husband we'll get to in a second. Wait. Right now we're assuming it's one non-husband, yeah, one third party. The El Arab today, you're going to tell me that maybe there are two Adim coming and saying that this get wasn't written in Lishma, or that the signatures are forged, or what have you? Well, then today or today, you know. So what does it help? Yiskayim B'chosmav. You're going to have two Adim against two Adim, and therefore we're still going to have to keep the Chazaka, that she's an Eishes Ish. Because my chazit is smoichahani. Who says you should rely on the two who are certifying these are valid signatures? Maybe you should rely on the original two who came and objected and say that they're forged signatures or whatever, and then she remains an ishish. Ella ara debal. So no, we have to understand. We have to say that we're talking about that the husband came. So he's taka only one person, but he himself is coming and objecting and saying, again, we have the machlokas rashi and tosfos. So not really he has the power of two, but he has the ability to say that it wasn't written with my consent, it wasn't written with my rotzen, which would make it possible, or that it wasn't written lishma, or whatever it is. And therefore, yes, if we have two edim to validate it, then that'll go against what he says, and we'll accept it. No, so he's actually said the other day that b'fanenechtem will help against him, even in Eretz Yisrael or in Babel, where you're not required to say b'fanenechtem. But if you do, we said the other day that Rava told Rav Kahana that if you say it, then you'll help the fact that if there's an error from the husband, that we'll be able to safely ignore it. And we've talked several times already, Rashi and Tosfos argue what exactly this error of the husband would accomplish if it was accepted. No, if it was accepted, if there wasn't b'fanenechtem, or kiyum shtaros or whatever, would it actually possible to get outright, and if she remarries, then it takes about a lot of mamzer, or would it, just like Tosfos says, it would just create a laws that people would be hesitant to marry her because you never know what might happen, but not that it would outright possible.
If you find Adam, then yeah.
Okay, Mishnah says, "Hamavi get medina seyam." Somebody is bringing a get from medina seyam. But eini yachaloyim b'fananechta. He's not able to say b'fananechta. So we learned about this in the Gemara the other day. The Gemara is going to repeat that point over here. So if there's edim on this get, then you certify it based on the signatures of the edim. By the way, a number of mafarshim ask, "What do you mean if it comes from medina seyam necessarily? It has edim on it." So they say that it means in Yeshal of Edom means if there's Edom available, not the Edom who are signed on the shtar. Obviously, there has to be Edom signed on a shtar that's being brought from the Dinasayan. How else would he know it's genuine? But it means if you have local Edom who are able to validate it,
to recognize the signature.
Both Gittim of women and get shikru to free slaves have the same din as far as someone who brings a get to Eretz Yisrael or someone who takes it from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Lareth. That in with both of them, you need Bafana Nechtem, Bafana Nechtem, and that helps. This is one of the ways in which Gittin of women and Shechurah Avadim are similar.
In the sense that
you need that the Chacham accepted the declaration Bafana Nechtem in the place of Kidum or the place of the Shema, as the case may be. Tosfos, by the way, asks an interesting point. In the case of a woman's get, we said at the very beginning of the Masechta that the reason why the Chachamim were mekel and accept that statement from the Shliach, even though it was only one person, is Mishum Iguna, because we don't want her to be an Iguna. By an Eved, what's the problem of Igun? So there are Mepharshim who say the problem is basically that if you give him that get shikru, but you haven't said b'fanei nechtem, he's kind of in limbo as far as getting married. He can't marry a bas chodin because he's still partially an eved. He can't marry a shifcha because he's partially an eved and a shikru. So he's stuck. I'm not counting him for a minion. It's not considered such ego. Okay, I mean, when he was an Eved, when he's a full-fledged Eved, you can't count him for a minion either.
Right, but now he's stuck.
When he's stuck,
he can still...
No. An Eved Ivri can marry a Shifcha Knani who's half and half. The reverse is not true. An Eved Knani can't marry an Eved Knani is not allowed to marry a full Jewish woman, or he's allowed to marry a Shifcha, but only a full Shifcha. In this case, where he's in limbo, he can't do either yet. Anyway, Tosfos mentioned that point, but doesn't like it, because big deal, all you have to do in order to avoid that, never mind relying on b'fanei nechtem, wait to give him the get shikru until you have Edom to certify it. And meanwhile, until that time, he won't be in limbo from when the get is written. He's only going to be in limbo from when it's given until you certify it. So fine, wait until you have Edom available to certify it, and then give it to him, and there won't be a problem with Igun. So Tosfos answers, no, there's a different issue of Igun. The very fact that he's not allowed to marry Bas Yisrael, and the very fact that he's not chayiv in mitzvahs, that itself is considered a situation of Igun. Sort of like what you said, that he can't count for a minion, for example. That itself is considered an Igun, and therefore we want to minimize that. Therefore we accept the fanei nechtem. The Gemara says, "My eini yachaloma." What do we mean that the shliach can't say? Ilei mecheresh, do we mean that he's a deaf mute? Can't be cheresh baras through get to who is a cheresh b'chalal allowed to bring a get to the shliach? Well, it's not. We learn later on. Hakol k'sherin lahavi et a get chutz mecheresh shayt b'katan. Anybody's kosher to deliver a get from one as a shliach halacha, except for a cheresh shayt b'katan, because they don't have das. Amar Rabbi Yosef Hachav my opinion k'venshin nafna lakshu b'keach. We're talking about that. He, the shliach, handed over the get while he was a pekeach. And before he had the chance to say b'fanei nechtem, he became a cheresh, as we talked about the other day. So therefore, so he's not able to, but nevertheless, then so we won't pass over the get. He started as being able, therefore we won't pass over the get, but we will say we need kiyum. And that's, we brought in over there that how would Rabbi explain that, and he would have to say la'achah shalomdu, that our Mishnah is talking about after the Bnei Chutz Lareth learned about the concept of the Shema, so we're not worried about that anymore.
Even that he was Pekeach before?
I don't think so, but I mean, L'chodah, we can see when he handed her the gift, we can see that he was Pekeach, I don't know.
But does it have to be proved in any way?
I don't know. You can see. Okay, we said echad gittin nashim v'echad shechur avadim. Gittin nashim and shechur avadim are similar as far as b'fanei nechtem. Tanan abana, and we said that this is one of the ways in which they're similar. Tanan abana, b'shloisha drachim b'shavu gittin nashim v'shechur avadim. There's actually three ways in which they're similar. Number one, shavu l'moylech l'mevi. Number one, you have the same din as far as somebody carrying a get in or out of Eretz Yisrael from the din of the yam. You have to say b'fanei nechtem. Number two, v'chol get sheyeshel of eid kursi posel. In general, any get, meaning any shtar, we said at the beginning of the chapter that get is a generic word for shtar. So any shtar that has on that one of the eidim that signed on it as a kursi is normally posel. We're talking the kursi during the time of the second Mikdash, and for a little while after, where there was we learned in Yuvamos, there was a machloekas, there was a suffix, whether the geire agayis or geire emes. We're talking during that period. We're talking to eventually, in the times of Reb Meir, they found that they were worshipping an image of a dove up there on Hagudism, and at that point they declared them 100% goyim. But we're talking about the period before that. So ordinarily, you cannot accept shtaris that have kusim signed on them. We'll talk about it more in the Mishnah and in the Gemara tomorrow, where we'll get into the details of that. Chus migitin nashim v'shefor avadim, except for gitin and except for get isha and a get shefor, where we will allow an eight kusi on it. And again, like I say, let's wait for tomorrow's Mishnah and Gemara, and we'll get into the details of it. But basically, the Gemara is going to say over there that the kusim are careful with certain mitzvahs. And the ones that they're careful with, they're very careful with. And Master, we'll talk about it. But gitin, yes.
They're considered gitin.
So at that time, they were considered semi-yidin. Yeah.
Semi.
V'chol and number three, v'chol ashtoreis ha'olim ba'akoris shal erbet v'chavim. Number three, any ashtoreis that are prepared in a goyish accord, apafi shechasmein erbet v'chavim, even though the signers on these ashtoreis are goyim, sherin, normally any such other documents, like IOUs or deeds or what have you, would be kosher. Chutzim, gitin nashim v'shkor avadim, except for a get and a get shikra, where the signers have to be Jews. So what's the difference? Rashi says the difference is, goyim, there's a famous thing, dinah d'malchus d'dinah. Goyim have sheva mitzvahs. One of the sheva mitzvahs is that they have to set up courts and a justice system. And in fact, actually, it's machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban what we mean when we say they have a mitzvah of dinim. The Rambam just says they have to set up courts to judge people who violate one of the other six mitzvahs b'nei nayach. The Ramban says more generally, dinim includes they have to set up a civil and criminal justice system. They have to have civil laws, etc. But therefore, so Rashi seems to be going according to Ramban. There seems to be going similar to Ramban in that the goyim mitzvah of dinim includes that they have to have a civil law system. Therefore, any other kinds of documents, shtorichoid or deeds or what have you, all fall under what belongs, what's in their province, and therefore they can be writing and signing such shtorich, and we'll accept them halacha. But a get or a get shikr or not, because goyim are not shayach to them. Goyim are not shayach to gittin. They don't have the dinim of gerushin that we do, that Amam described based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that a goyish couple just, their divorce is when they mutually agree, or when they mutually agree to separate. There's no specific ceremony for it.
In New York State, they require a get to divorce.
Fine, okay, so that's legal. Okay, but they don't require, right.
But it's shayach.
Okay, but it's shayach to them because they decided to incorporate it in their law, not because halacha says that they have anything to do with it. And similarly with Shechur Avodim, we learned in Yevamos that a goy is not able to own the goof of an Eved Kanani. All he owns is Malacha. Therefore, he's not shaykh to Shechur Avodim either, so therefore they can't be the signers on such things.
And a goy in Eretz Yisrael?
Doesn't matter. A goy in Eretz Yisrael, So far we said, according to the Chachamim, there's three differences. There's three similarities, rather, between Gitin, Nashim, and Shechur Avadim, these three that we just mentioned. According to Rav Meir, there's a fourth one, Barba. Namely, Ha'omer, 10 get zeh l'ishti, or shtar shechur zeh l'avi. If somebody says, give this get to my wife, and give this shtar shechur to my eved, rotz alach v'shneim yachzor divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says, either one, he can change his mind before the shliach delivers it. Why? Because Rav Meir takes the view that we know there's a general rule throughout Shas, zachin la'adam shalai b'fanav v'ein chavin la'ay shalai b'fanav, that you can create a schus for somebody without their consent, without their knowledge of it, but not a chuz. Rav Meir takes the view that both a get for a woman and a get shichur for an eved are both considered a chuz. We assume ordinarily that the woman doesn't, for the wife. We assume the law is in Shanish, to the ones to whom they're being sent. Ordinarily, we assume that a woman does not want to get divorced, especially if you say throughout Shas, Hav l'meisav tandum l'meisav amlu, a woman usually would rather be married. An Eved, Rav Meir is also assuming, does not want to go free, the famous expression, Av d'bet keter nichalei, that an Eved would rather be able to live a hefkadika life. Therefore, the chay. No, a hefkadika life in the sense that he's able to be with a shifcha knanis, who generally are more promiscuous, and he's not like a ben yisrael, he's not like an eben meshukha, like a ben yisrael who's limited only to Jewish women and limited only to being married to them and not being mizaneh with them, etc. So an Eved would rather have that kind of hefkeres. So therefore, if one of them appointed, so if the woman or the or if the woman or the Eved themselves appointed a shliach, fine. But if they didn't, the husband or the master is appointing a shliach to bring the get to them. Then a mayor says, since that's a chayv, therefore in chavin la adam shalay b'fana. So therefore, the master has the master or the husband has the ability to change his mind before it's actually delivered. Where you have to tell the shliach. Yeah. Whereas the chachamim would say the chachamim would say that a get isha is indeed a chayv, but a get shichur is not. A get shichur is a zchus for the eved that he's going to be able to become a ben yisrael, and as we said, Anam and Aleph will be able to marry a bat yisrael, etc. And therefore you can't revoke it. So Reb Meir would say that they're similar, and those two things the chachamim would disagree. Going back a second, by the way, to this business about Goyim signing on other documents except for Gittim and Shekhura Avadim, Tosfos points out there's a few other issues involved in a get or a get Shekhura being signed by Goyim. First of all, there's what Rashi says, that they're not Shayach to these dinim. There's also the fact that it needs to be Lashma, and when a Goy, the general rule in Halacha is when you have a Goy do something, adaita de nafshika, but he usually does it based on his own understanding of what he feels like doing. We have this in all the different cases in Halacha where something has to be done l'shma. It's not good enough to have the Goy do it and you stand over him and tell him, do it l'shma, because the Goy has his own independent brain and is not going to think l'shma. So there's that also. Shchita actually, shchita doesn't have to be the shema per se, but it has to be. But yeah, shchita anyway is a vata. It has to be a yidshef thing. But yes, making tzitzis is one example. There's many different examples in halacha of things that have to be done l'shma, and you can't rely on a goy to do it and say that you'll tell him what to do.
Well, the issue is that the ladies, when the ladies basically master was not a Jewish
something. And then Tosfos points out there's another thing. How do you have somebody write a get, and how do you have the edim sign? The husband has to appoint them shluchim. Part of the in any svarim that they use nowadays for being the sadr gittin, tavnaki or the others, you have an explicit statement that the husband has to tell the sofer, be my shliach to write this get. He tells the edim, be my shluchim to sign this get. You can't make a goy a shliach. The whole concept of shlichos only applies between Jews. So for all those reasons, gittim and shechur avadim signed by goyim are possible. In the case of other shtarot, given that so again, Rashi has said the vote is that goyim are shayach to these other kinds of shtarot. They're shayach to IOUs and deeds and so forth. Therefore, we can accept it. Tosfos says that when you get down to it, really the other kinds of shtarot are only needed. It's just a takana d'rabbanan. Usually fine. Usually we would not accept shtarot that are signed by goyim, not because they're not shayach to these dinim, but because we're afraid that they're lying. But in the case when it's prepared by a goyish or by a reputable goyish court, we're not worried that they're going to knowingly write out a falsehood over there. That's the point. They are shayach, but that's not the reason that they might lie. But if it's done by a court, then that's different. Anyway. So, now we said, the Braise had started saying that there's three things in which Gittin Nashim and Shechura Avadim are similar, and then Rameyer had said four. So, Bishlem L'Rabbanan Minyan L'Mo'otihad Rameyer. I can understand why the Rabbanan had to say the number three, said they want to say Dabka three, not four. We don't agree with Rameyer's statement, because we say there is a difference between Gittin Nashim and Shechura Avadim in that regard. El Rameyer Minyan L'Mo'otimai, but according to Rameyer, why did he need to say the number four? As opposed to what other case is there that we would think that Gittin Nashim and Shechura Avadim are similar? That is not they're not.
So we think
we're saying evidently Rameyer is trying to say there's another din that applies to one. There's a different din that applies to one, and you would think it applies to the other. But I want to tell you that not. No. Yeah, that's the point. We need to. Yeah, exactly. So l'ma'oti hoditanya. We're coming to exclude what we learn in a braisa as follows. Edim shein yodim lachtem. If you have edim for get who do not know how to sign, they're illiterate. Mekadim lahen niyar cholak. What you do is you rip a blank paper for them. The Rashi doesn't mean rip. Actually, what it means is you take a knife and you make marks. Cut out the tzitzis. Rashi says you make marks on the paper in the shape of the letters that they're supposed to be writing. So you're not cutting through the paper, but you're just like you're making indents in the paper, kind of.
To show them as
a template that they'll write and write ink along those lines. Okay, it could happen, but Tosfos has a different explanation. Tosfos says, like you said, that it means you cut out. You make like a stencil. You take one piece of paper and cut out from that piece of paper the shape of the letters that they need to write. Then you put that one paper over the paper, which is the get itself, and you have them rub over it with ink, and that way it comes out. It's like a stencil, therefore, and you have underneath comes out the proper shape of the letters. Which Tosfos actually points out, based on Yerushalmi, if that's the case, you still need to be able to validate these signatures. You still need to be able to demonstrate that these signatures came from these Edim. If it's made by a stencil, how are you going to do that? Therefore, we have to say that they're not literally going and rubbing over the whole surface. And what it has to be is they're still sort of tracing inside the stencil. They're still not filling up the entire width of the cutout. That way, it's still distinctive. It's still a distinctive way of writing. And therefore, therefore other people will be able to recognize whether it was theirs or whether it was forged. Anyway, when does this apply by Gittin? Again, because of Takanas HaGrunos. What if you have the guy who's giving the get is about to go away on a trip, and the only Edim we're able to find are these two illiterate Edim? And if we make them, if we have to first teach them how to write, and meanwhile the husband's going to go away on a trip, and the get will never be given. But when it comes to a get shifra or any other kind of shtaris, no. Only if the Edom know how to read what's in the shtar and to be able to sign by themselves, choismin, then they can sign the imlavein choismin, and if not, they can't sign. So therefore, so the mayor is saying, when I'm saying there's four things in which Gittim and Shakura Avadim are similar, I mean to say, but not this fifth thing. This case in Makarian, where you can scratch lines on the paper or make a stencil or whatever, that only works for Gittim, not for Shakura Avadim. Okay. The Tanakhama didn't say anything about reading the Shtar. The Tanakhama was just talking about where they can't write their name. So maybe they're not illiterate. They know how to read, but they don't know how to write, let's say. Reb Shimon Gamliel all of a sudden is bringing in that they have to be able to read the Shtar. Who said anything about that? The answer is Surin after. The Braita is missing words. The Hafik is funny. It means like this. Edim Sheni Yodin Likris, if they don't know how to read, Kurin Lefneim, then we read what's in the Shtar to them, the Chosmin, and they're able to sign. And that we can do even with other kinds of Shtaris, that the Tanakhama is saying. Sheni Yodin Lachtim Makarin Lan. If they don't know how to sign, then we scratch the paper or cut the paper or whatever, or make a stencil or whatever, yeah. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming in and saying that no, only by Gittin do we allow that. By other shtaris, not only do they have to be able to sign their own names, they have to be able to read the content of the shtar themselves to be able to sign it. I believe so. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara for two letter. You're telling me there's no other similarities between Gittin and shtar shichur. Well, we have another one. If somebody says, give this get to my wife and give this shtar shichur to my eved, umes, and then he died, they should not give either of them la'achamisa because the get can't take effect la'achamisa and neither can the shtar shichur. On the other hand, if the guy says, give a money to so-and-so, give a money to so-and-so, umes, and then the person who gave it died, yitnu lachamisa, they can give that lachamisa. So we see another similarity between Gittim and Shikurin. The answer is, ki katani milsa, the lesser bishtaris. Yes, we're talking about things that don't apply to other shtaris. Milsa, it's a bishtaris, less a funny. We're not counting other ways in which Gittim and Shikurim are similar to all the other kinds of shtaris out there. All the other kinds of shtaris as well. If a person were to write out, we said dibesh chidmana, you don't even need to write out in a shtar. He just says it verbally, and that's good enough. For example, if he were to give a shtar matana and tell him a regular shtar matana, take the shtar and based on it, give a mana to so and so after I die. No, that's not an offense. There's a matana, lachamisa. So we're not counting that kind of thing. We're talking about things that we're dealing with as Gittim and as Shechurim, things that don't apply to other things at all. Befana Nechtem doesn't apply to other Shtaris. A Kosi doesn't apply to other Shtaris, etc. We're talking things that are specific to Gittim and Shechurim, things which are similar versus which are different between them.
But if a person sends a get to someone to free Evan, and he passes away,
that's the thing. If he wrote it out while he was alive, but it's only going to take effect when it's given to the Eved, and by the time it's given to the Eved, he's died.
Because he's not alive
anymore. And we know that the Shalach Ravin Mishmeid Rav Abo, because in fact we find that Ravin sent the following message in the name of Rav Abo. Hevu Yodin Shalach Rav Elazar LeGoyla B'Shem Rabbeinu. You should know that Rav Elazar sent the following message to the Goyla, to Bavel, in the name of Rabbeinu, Rapashas meaning Rabbi Yechanan. Shchiv Merah Shalom Akis one of the Pliny. If a Shchiv Merah says, write out a document and give a mona to Pliny, Umeth, and then the Shchiv Merah died before the document was written, Ein Kosman Unos, and then you don't write the document, you don't give. Shevel Gomalak Nosa El B'Shtar, because he may have only had in mind to be machna to him with the Shtar. He may not, if he had said, if he hadn't mentioned a Shtar, then it would give a Shchiv Merah, and then it would automatically be in effect. Just the fact that he said it. Once he mentioned a shtar, means he himself may have only meant for it not to be the regular kind of matnas shivra, but rather that it should not take effect without the shtar. And the shtar cannot be in effect after he dies. So therefore, so we see that that concept applies to shtaris generally. So therefore, I don't know what English law is, but that concept applies to shtaris generally, and therefore we can't count it as one of the things in which Gittim and Shechurim are similar, because they're similar to everything else as well. We're just trying to find things that Gittim and Shechurim are similar or different as opposed to all the other kinds of shtaris.
So if you're sure there's no will, that's what
we're saying? In Jewish law there's a will, but that's matnas shchivra is a verbal will. Or you can write out a document and say, like we said before, Mehayom el Achamisa, that it takes effect as of retroactive to now, after I die. All those kinds of things are valid.
But
it can't be that it's first going to take effect after the guy dies. That's not how it's going to come. Unless he says Mehayom, unless he says that it's going to take effect as of today, yeah. Let's go down the mouth. Forgot about that, right? Okay. Okay, so in that case, I guess we may as well try getting a little further. Yeah. I plumb forgot, yeah. All right. I wonder why nobody is coming in and nudging us. All right. Yeah. Okay, how about another one? What about, you have another similarity between Gittin Noshim and Shechur HaAvadim that doesn't apply to any other shtaris, the fact that it has to be written Lishma. So, Bishlem L'Rabba, so okay, it works out well according to Rabba's understanding, which we said, which we've been saying from the beginning of the Masechta, which he says the whole reason for B'fanan Nechtem is because we're considering they don't know of Lashma, well, Hainu Moilach, maybe. Then that's exactly the similarity that the Braisa said. The fact that you have to say B'fanan Nechtem, if you're taking a get shikra or get isha from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlaret or from Chutzlaret to Eretz Yisrael, why are you saying B'fanan Nechtem, precisely because of the Lashma issue. Ella the Rava Kasha, but according to Rava, what does it mean? Why don't we list that? Why don't we list that as another similarity between them? The two, and not only that, Bain the Rava, Bain the Rava, Haikim Chubber. I can find you another similarity between Gittin Noshim and Shechur HaAvadim, according to that's unique only to them and not found with any other shtar. They can't be written b'mechubar. We talked about before, and we'll talk about much later. We'll talk about later on that they can't be written on something attached to the ground. The answer is kikatani, attached to where they naturally grew in the first place. The answer is kikatani psula d'rabbanan. We're only listing things in which they're similar or different in things that are possible d'rabbanan. The d'rabbanan are the one who require that you say b'fanan nechta, b'fanan nechta. An eight kursi is only possible d'rabbanan because we assume that they're going to lie or whatever. Midaraisa, they'd be fine. And no, mechuber, that's what we're saying. Mechuber is possible d'araisa. For both, yes. But we're not counting that because we're only counting the three or four similarities that there are between them in Dinim Dirabon. So our koiz is the question. The Gemara is going to ask. So Gittim and Shechur HaAvadim that are signed by Goyim are possible deraisa. The Gemara is going to get to that. The Gemara is going to ask that now. But right now, this is the Gemara's original assumption. The question is, so deraisa, why? We're not counting things in which they're similar deraisa. The question is, what about documents that are created and signed in Goyish courts by Goyish judges and Goyish edim? It's still a deraisa. Those apostles are deraisa for the reasons we said before, because they're not shayach tit, they're not shluchim, they're not doing it lishma, etc. The katani, and yet we list it. The answer is the edim is sira. Yes, but what we could be talking about is that the get shikr was it may have been written by Goyish judges and signed by Goyish edim, but there are Jewish edim that are watching when it's being handed over. This would be like Rabbi Elazar, which we said before, and again we'll say throughout the Masechta, that he holds Eidei Mesira Kauti. The Eidei Mesira, the ones who are watching when the guest is being handed over, they're the ones that create the separation, the cutoff between the husband and wife. So in other words, according to Rabbi Elazar, just like we said earlier, we said a few days ago that according to Rabbi Elazar, in principle, you wouldn't even need signatures in a get at all. The get would be fine even if it was just written in the body of the get with no signatures at all, as long as it's Eidei Mesira. Same thing over here. The get was written in a goyish court. Midaraisa would be fine. Well, also a get can be written in any language. You have to realize. I mean, the minhag, everybody, the accepted halacha by everybody is you write a get in a mixture of Lashon Kodesh and Arabish. We'll learn some of the nusach of it towards the end of the Masechta. But in principle, a get could be written in any language. But that's the point. In other words, that since, according to Rabbi Elazar, the essential thing is that you have Eidim Mesira, you have Eidim watching the get being handed over, so it doesn't really matter whether there's any signatures in there or whether the signatures are Goyim or whatever. So you can't say that that would be something that would be Kosher Daraisa, because in fact it would be Kosher Daraisa. It's only the Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Elazar. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. According to Rabbi Elazar, it would be Kosher. Because we said the other day, according to Rabbi Elazar, the body of the get does not have to be written Lashma. According to Rabbi Elazar, when the Pasuk says, V'chosav lost Sefer Christmas, that it has to be, that lost means Lashma, Rabbi Elazar says that means specifically the signatures. So according to him, the entire body of the get, including Hareyat Materis Bechol Adam and everything, I think all of us have according to Rabbi Elazar, only the signatures have to be done with Shema. So you have a get over here that was written in a Goyish court. Let's say there's no signatures on it at all then. Fine. There don't have to be signatures on it as long as it's Eidei Mesira. So again, you can't say that's something that's possible d'oraisa. Therefore, it's possible d'rabbanan, and therefore we can list that as a similarity between Gita Nashim and Shechura Avadim. Okay, the question is, well, it's a funny sefer of Shimon and Ma'at Elu Psherin. What about, though? We have the continuation of the Braisa says that Rav Shimon says it's actually two Mishnayos later on Yudom and Mez. This that we said before, that Kol Ashtoreth Ha'olim Ba'akosh Shalot Ha'olim is a Mishnah later on Yudom and Mez. And Mishnah continues, Rav Shimon Ema Af Elu Psherin, Rav Shimon says, even when it comes to Gittim and Shechur Avadim, even they are kosher. The Omer Rav Zera, Yorav Rav Shimon L'Zaita Shereb Olazah, Dram Eidim Esidah Karki. And Rav Zera says, how does Rav Shimon get that? Because he's following the opinion of Rav Olazah that Eidim Esidah Karki. So Rav Shimon would be talking about a case where the get was written by Yidin and signed by Goyim. But because Eidim Esidah Karti, we ignore the signatures that are inside the get. As long as you have Eidim that are watching when the get is given over, follow the Tanakama Sava Lai, which implies that Tanakama holds you need Eidim Chasima. So how can we say that Tanakama would be holding, like Rabbi Elazar, the Eidim Esidah Karti? If obviously he holds you need Eidim Chasima. You need Eidim that actually you need Jewish Eidim that actually signed the get. The answer is Ikabanao Shemus Muhokin. The difference is that you're right. Both the Tanakama and Rav Shimon are going according to Rabbi Elazar's shita. So the Tanakama takes the view that if you have names that are signed in the get, Goyish names, then we're afraid that it's true. Technically, you could just have the Eidim Mesira. You just have the Eidim who watch when the get is handed over, and we can ignore the signatures inside the get. However, what if we just end up relying on the ones who signed it and using them as the Eidim Mesira? That would for sure be possible, according to Rabbi Elazar. Therefore, the Tanakama says that we're going to pass with the Drabbanan. But what now? Rav Shimon says if they're Shemus Mubhokin, if they're names that are unique to Goyim, and the Gemara we'll give later on Daf Yud Aleph, we'll have some examples of that, names that are used that in those days were used only by Goyim, that you never heard of Jews using those names. Well then. Then automatically everybody will know that those are Goyim, and then everybody's going to know that you're going to need Eidim Mesira, that you can't rely on those Eidim that are written in the get. So that would be the machlokes. So the Tanakama and Rav Shimon themselves can be disagreeing within what Rabbi Elazar says. Is it good enough that within what Rabbi Elazar says Eidim Mesira Kauti, we can ignore the Eidim Chasima? But do we have reason to be concerned? The Rabbanon, that people are going to think that these Eidei Chasima are valid Eidim and end up relying on them for the validity of the get. If they're going. So the Tanakhama says yes, and Rav Shimon says as long as they're names that are only used by Goyim, then we don't have to worry about that.
Everybody, yeah. But if they're not used by Goyim,
if they're names that are common to both Jews and Goyim, yes, then Rav Shimon would agree that we are worried, and then therefore you can't. Then therefore Rav Shimon would say you can't have Goyim who have names similar to Jews. You can't have them sign again the Drabon, because we're
Goyim who have names similar to Jews, or Jews using Goyim.
No, we mean the other way around. We mean, you know, there's more going to discuss later on Daf Yud Aleph. We're going to have a half dozen examples of names that we use only. Let's put it in modern terms. If you have a get that's signed by Christopher and John, for sure they're Goyim. No Jews use those names. But you've heard it. Okay, but nowadays you have people who are born into completely irreligious families. Okay, fine. In Spanish-speaking countries, Jesus, or whatever, you know, whatever. You can think of examples. No,
Anyway.
On the other hand, if you have a get, let's say that's signed by Stuart and Dave, they might be Jews, they might be Goyim, right? Stuart is used both by Jews and by Goyim, right? So therefore, that's the point. You know, if you have a get that's signed by Stuart and Dave, they might be Jews, they might be Goyim. You can't tell from the name. People might therefore think, you know what, let's call Stuart and Dave together, have them tell us that they watched the get being given, and therefore we'll consider it a kosher get, and we can't do that because they're Goyim. Mashenkin, if they have the names Christopher and John, everybody knows that those are Goyim. Nobody, or Jesus or whatever, then nobody, what is that?
Carvano.
Okay. Then everybody's going to know that they're Goyim. Nobody's going to have any reason to think they're not. Nevertheless, the Tanakhama still says we're still not going to allow it. And Rav Shimon will say we will. But this is all within what Rav Elazar says, that Eidim is Sira Kauti. Because if we were to say Eidim Chasima Kauti, if you were to say the Eidim Chasima, then for sure it's not going to work either way. You can never have Goyim sign again. This more finishes off. So what about, let's try one more example. We have, so far what we're trying to say that the three or four things that we said, that Gitin, Nashim, and Shechur HaVadim are the same, are things that are unique only to those two types of documents. And then, and that brought us into this whole discussion. So we said, what about our Kohes Shalobi Chachavim, and that's what got us into this discussion. What about another one? What about taking back the get or the get shechur? That's something daraisa. The fact that the husband or the master has the ability to do that. According to the mayor, both of them would now be possible daraisa once the husband or the master changes his mind. The Katani and Rav Meir is listing that as a similarity between those two. So we see we are even listing things that are similar to daraisa. If we're listing things that are similar to daraisa, why aren't we mentioning Lishma? Or why aren't we mentioning our Kohes Shalobi Chachavim? No. Let's try it like this. Ki katani milsa de lesa de kiddushin. No, rather, we're only listing things that do not apply in kiddushin. Namely, it's not a matter of daraisa or derabanan. When it comes to kiddushin can also be done with a shtar. The shloisha drach and the harisha nikness, the kesef of a shtar would be here. We'll learn in kiddushin in a few months. So it's possible to do kiddushin with a shtar. You write on a shtar harayach kudeshesli. Now, that shtar does not have the din of so Rashi says then the din of Lishma does apply to that. The din of Mechubar also applies to that, because how do we know the whole concept of kedushin can be done with the shtar is from the hekesh that we make a comparison between leaving by a get and coming in with kedushin. So therefore, whatever applies to a get also applies to a shtar kedushin. So we're only listing things that do not apply to a shtar kedushin. Milsa isabik kedushin like katani. We're not listing things that also apply to shtar kedushin. So the three things that we mentioned, b'fanim nechtem is not relevant to shtar kedushin, because if the whole reason behind that is that the husband may object it's possible, a guy's not going to give a shtar kedushin and then claim that it's possible. The eight kursi is not kosher by kedushin, for reasons which we'll talk about tomorrow. And our kohes, a shtar that's created by a kedusha based in, is also not. There's also no good by kedushin. So those are the things we're listing. Okay, v'chazorah gufa is the kedushin. Okay, but what about your mayor's fourth thing that he says that you're able to change your mind? That could apply to Kedushin as well. If you give a shtar Kedushin and you want to change your mind, you're able to. Because again, it's not Zochin La'adam Shlegafana. Zochin La'adam Shlegafana. There's no Zchus over here. She becomes also to everybody else. That's not a Zchus. The answer is, B'shlichus V'al Kocha. Yes, but we're talking about where the Shlichus was done against her will. The Begedushin is still a Kedushin Lekka. That is relevant to Gedushin, because a woman can be divorced V'al Kocha up until Chayim Gaben Gedushin. Kedushin is not Shayach to do V'al Kocha. Kedushin has to be with her consent. So therefore, when it comes to Kedushin, actually, yes, the husband can change his mind, but it's a different kind of changing his mind. He originally made up with her that he's going to be able to be Mekadosh her with this shtar, and she accepted that. As opposed to the Gittim and the Shchurim, there's no need. You don't have to check with the wife first. You don't have to check with the Eved first. Would you like a get? Would you like a shtar shichur? You can send it to them even without them knowing about it, even without them disagreeing with it. And Rameyer is saying the other thing that they have similarity then is that you can change your mind before it actually reaches them.
That's prior to the
Takanah. Prior to Chayim Gaben Gedushin, for sure. The Gemara is long for Chayim Gaben Gedushin.
So first
you can't get a guest to the wife without her reason. So nowadays, ever since Chayim Gaben Gedushin, yes. In order to be Mekadosh a woman. What?
Why you made the Takanah?
Why you made the Takanah? I don't remember exactly. I have to look in Shulchan Aruch. So no, she has to agree. She has to be willing to accept the guest.
Can't they, try to get to
talk to
her?
No. So it would be kosher midoraita. It would be kosher even midrabanan. But under takana, under the chenum, they're negotiating. You're not allowed to do that.
I know a case where a guy didn't want to give his wife. I mean, I always thought it happens that way. Eventually, he wanted to give it. She said, "No, now I'm not accepting it anymore." After he sweated it out, then she accepted it.
Okay. Actually, there's a Shamshin of Paul Hirsch has an interesting vote about it. He says the reason, so tackle why did the Torah originally make it that a husband can divorce his wife unilaterally? He says because the Torah was able to trust that men are not going to abuse that power. They're not going to go just divorce their wife stamazoi for no good reason. They'll only do it if there's a valid reason. Niskatnu Torah, time went on, and people are not on that level anymore. There came the point when husbands are not able to be trusted with that kind of power anymore, and therefore, Rabbeinu Gershom had to make a takana that you can only do it with her consent.
Yeah.